No, I'll never fall in love again.
Is that the start of the episode?
Yeah, that was my Chris Isaak impression.
That's a great song, not going to lie. David Lynch has made good use of Chris Isaak over the years.
It's a fair point. You're a David Lynch guy. It's a fair point, yeah. Welcome. We're back. Mike, and Oscar. I'm your host, Mike. This is my co-host, also Mike.
I am also Mike.
And we are doing our second Oscar category review episode. We're talking about the leading ladies of Hollywood.
Not best actor?
Oh boy.
No. Yeah, I'm ready.
Best costume design.
I prepared best animated short.
And Coco wins that one, too. Now we're doing best lead actress.
I'm dreading going to see the live action shorts. Because that's just a parade of sadness every year.
What do you mean? You don't have to do this.
It's playing in the theater, you know, around the block now. We're going to have to go see it.
Disagree.
They got both of them playing as of this weekend.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Hand in hand, arm in arm. We'll have to treat ourselves.
Let's do an Oscars podcast.
I know, right?
We're idiots. Yes, we're doing the lead actress, best lead actress podcast today. Hope you enjoyed our first episode where we covered the best supporting actor race. We went into deep dive, and that's what we're doing from here on out for these seven episodes. We're going to cover the seven major awards that we cover, which is, of course, best original screenplay, the four acting categories, best picture, best director, leaving out of those best adapted screenplay because Mike and I do not know how to read.
So, we didn't want to read five books.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You can only ask us to do so much.
So we're doing the leading ladies today. We're going to give you, if you didn't hear our first episode in this structure, go back and listen to it. If you want to know how this is going to be laid out going forward, we're going to give you these five nominees, the five nominees that the Oscars and the Academy have given us. We're going to go through each one individually, give you reasons that why they will take home the Oscar on Oscar Sunday, March 4th, and reasons why they will not take home the Oscar Sunday, March 4th.
And basically, we're trying to surmise in our minds who should win out of these nominees.
That's some of the reasons will be serious. Some of the
reasons you can just throw salt on
us. Right. So we're trying to give you a little bit of everything, little slice of every pie, since we're talking about David Lynch.
And Shape of Water. There's pie in that movie too. Literally, yeah. Metaphorically.
Yeah, there is.
I made a joke.
So before we get into it, let's talk about the social media stuff. We have a new Twitter handle, if you haven't heard yet.
MM and Oscar.
Yes, trying to make it easier for you guys to remember rather than a bunch of jumbled up letters. We are
the underscore always threw me off, dude. That's all I'm saying.
Sounds like a you problem that you projected onto me.
But all like our listener followers aren't following us on Twitter, so that's why like red alert, alarm bells.
Yeah, we want you guys to follow us across all social media platforms, especially Twitter. We do happen to use, also Mike and I are on that one every single night. We're interacting. We love talking to you guys. I'm on Instagram pretty much every day as much as I can. Mike is going to do his work. Also, Mike does his work on Reddit. So we're kind of spreading ourselves out.
Do I?
On the social media platforms. Just let it go, man. But that's where we stand now. Those are our handles. So we are Mike, and Oscar on Facebook. Mike, and Oscar on Instagram. MM and Oscar on Twitter. Mike, and Oscar at gmail.com. And Mike, and Oscar on Reddit. Coming in slick, like a cat on ice.
Yeah, you've been running that spiel for so long now, 34 episodes, 36 episodes.
I'm like a man that's had the hiccup for 30 years in The Simpsons. Just kill me, kill me, kill me.
Yeah, so I figured you say that in your sleep. I figured that was your sleepwalking, but you broke out of it pretty quick.
Yeah.
Just it took you a day, that's it.
Yeah, well, I don't have friends. So we're doing the leading ladies, as I've said 18 times already, and let's dive into it. Our lead actress nominees are Sally Hawkins for Shape of Water, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, Saoirse Ronan, Saoirse Like Inertia in Lady Bird, and Meryl Streep for The Post. Starting alphabetically, Sally Hawkins playing Eliza Esposito in The Shape of Water. Also, Mike, let's reverse it this time. Tell me why Sally Hawkins will go home empty-handed, why she will not win the Best Lead Actress Oscar.
Because it's not even her best performance of the year. Sally Hawkins was great in Maudie. In that movie.
I like
and
that.
I kind of wish she was nominated for that one. I would probably have that one up a little higher. And here's the thing about that performance in Maudie. It was somehow an even more sympathetic character than the one in Shape of Water. So, wow. But listen, a backlash is coming. We haven't seen it yet. It is coming, Michael.
Oh, we've seen it.
The Shape of Water backlash has to start.
There's sprinkles of
it. Can we start it?
And that's why she won't win. I have that as one of my reasons as well. There's a backlash coming for able-bodied actors playing these disabled or impaired parts.
I didn't think
and
of
it
that.
Started, I saw it in vogue and start to become a movement in the new for the new Gus Van Sant movie. Don't worry, he won't get far on foot. Joaquin Phoenix plays a wheelchair-bound man, and in January, the Rudderman Disability Foundation had their president go on record, compared the casting of able-bodied actors playing these disabled parts, imploring them to go the way of the white actors playing black, Hispanic, or Asian characters.
Or Native American ones way back. Huh?
Exactly. So he's hoping that kind of becomes the next stigmatized thing, and Hollywood gets in the practice of hiring actual disabled people to play these roles.
Pierce Brosnan as Squanto probably pissed him off, too.
You would think a little rough pulling that off.
Whatever he played.
So there is a sort of backlash, not to the extent I would say that Three Billboards has. Another reason, though, why Sally Hawkins won't win, what exactly is so outstanding about this performance? In 10 or 20 years, when we look back at this race, are we going to look back and think, damn, Sally Hawkins was great in The Shape of Water? Or are we going to look back in The Shape of Water and say, interesting aquariums?
Interesting aquariums. Those were interesting aquariums. Listen,
trying hard not to spoil these movies.
Listen, she has really one scene where she goes off. And is that enough? And I kind of agree with you. Is there enough there when you compare it to the other two, for sure? Two performances in this category, if not more. I think Octavia Spencer steals a lot of her scenes. Richard Jenkins maybe steals one.
We talked about this in the supporting actor. I don't want to be self-referential, but is Richard Jenkins even a top five supporting character? Is Eliza even a top three character?
But they have
in
their moments.
Movie?
That's the thing. Yeah, I mean the fish man, what amphibian man? He's got some moments.
His name is Doug Michael.
Is Doug Jones the actor? Yes, but he's a fictional character, Michael.
There's no way to talk
and,
about him.
Octavia Spencer in a lot of scenes with Sally Hawkins here might steal too many of them. But my number one reason is an Easter egg, and in that regard, it is connected to this longest joke ever, but egg timers. That's why spoiler people get that.
That's why she won't win
because
of egg timers. Interesting.
All right, so Mike, why do you think she will win? No, this is hard. You must have did really good at mock trial back in the day. Really good.
Yeah,
damn good.
I'm going to lie and
well.
Said I did mock trial at all.
No, really.
She'll win because it's the grown-up fairy tales year. It's just the year to give all the awards to Shape of Water and don this as one of those movies that does really well.
She puts a warm, fuzzy feeling in your hearts. There's no question.
And she doesn't talk except for one scene. She plays a mute character. She needs to do all her emoting and all her speaking through her face and her hands.
It's a lot like Amelie, where she does all those little gestures that seem to get you sympathetic to her character. She'll put her hat up against the window and just rest her head on the bus ride over
to
work.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. She does all these little intricacies that...
Plays with the raindrops on with her warm finger, bringing the raindrops to her.
Her and Richard Jenkins sitting in a little tap dance in his apartment.
Those are not spoilers. They're in the trailer. They're in everything you've seen of it.
So Shape of Water almost ties the record for most nominations with 13. It's going to win some awards. If it sits here, if the Academy has decided this is the movie that's going to represent 2017, the year of social justice, social empowerment, the movie that shows that every living thing has value and can be seen equal, people that are different from you are still beings and have value, we're going to reward Sally Hawkins for her performance here.
It hits the most of those categories, the most of those causes. And you're right. It might be instead of just going for the female empowerment movie or going for the racism subject matter, it may... Go
hands
to a movie
across
that hits
America.
Yeah, that hits them all, but it's not as good of a movie. I don't know. We're gonna talk about it, flush this thing out. But she will win because she gives that feeling of nostalgia back to Hollywood again that this movie does so well.
He's
like a silent film star.
Yeah,
all the old cats in the Academy still might vote for her in that regard.
Well, this movie and cats don't go well together.
No, that's true. But, I mean, she does have some Oscar real moments in the sense that she has some great scenes with the amphibian man. You know, she has some lovable scenes with Richard Jenkins and Octavia Spencer, who wins
can't
those scenes. I don't know. If Shape of Water wins everything, maybe Hollywood's had a Murph fetish and they've always had a Murph fetish. We don't know. I think another reason is that egg timers. That's another reason.
It's a love-hate relationship with the egg timer that Hollywood will have. The Radio Raheem egg timer.
see the movie. It's worth watching. It's a good performance. Is it a top 3-5? We'll see.
Frances McDormand playing Mildred in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri is next. I'll lead us off as to why she's not going to win. Listen, anti-heroes are nice and all, but is there a single redeeming quality about the Mildred character in this movie?
You don't say. Well, keep going, Mike.
Listen, she's someone, without going too far into spoilers, that mocks the ill. She's divisively selfish. She blatantly disregards the mere suggestion of a moral compass, whether religiously or ethically at times. She spits in the face of authority over and over again. We're not given...
She's a bad girl in this movie.
A great role model.
She's a bad girl
in
this movie.
If that kind of thing matters, she's not winning.
It's possible that we mentioned the several backlashes. It might be just Lady Bird's night. It might be just Shape of Water's night. Russia may hack the voting. I don't have a lot of good reasons why she's not going to win here, dude. I think I'd be shocked if it goes another way.
The best actress goes to the kissy face in the Emoji movie. Look, this isn't a warm and fuzzy story of comeuppance and redemption. This is a bad person that spirals further down the drain of society.
She's got a lot of sympathy behind her, though. Obviously, her character, you know, it's very obvious in all the trailers and all the premises that you read about the movie, suffered tragedy going into it. So there's a lot of empathy for her character built into it. And she proves herself in many ways towards other characters throughout the story. She's won all the precursor awards. Again, Golden Globe, SAG, Critics' Choice, major feathers in the cap. I think that she has perhaps the most complete performance of the year. There's the stoic and the steaming. There's the perpetually sad and barely hiding it and overflowing of emotions. There's the serious anger, the breaking down where she's super angry, breaking down emotionally from that. There's the scene where she's with Woody Harrelson, where she's tight-lipped, and then, boom, she's the motherly performance. She's a weird kind of mom, a movie mom in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I would say. She's got a different parenting method than we've seen before, so she's funny. She's got one of the greatest tell-off scenes of all time in this movie.
Yes.
So she is literally acting circles around a lot of performances this year.
Yeah, not one note. Certainly someone with depth. But listen, as far as why she's going to win, you can keep your Fishman. You can keep your emoting and your protagonists and objectively decent human beings doing the right things in a drama, whether they're political or fantasy. You can keep your coming-of-age story.
I said she did that too, though.
You can give me the anti-hero as the landmark feminist statue for 2017. I want the woman who may be the toughest character we've seen on film this year, regardless of mental state or gender. And that's what Mildred is. So if we're going to reward someone, we're going to reward one badass chick who grabs life by the balls and sets it ablaze.
Listen, dude, I mean, just
more ways than one.
That's true. It's very true. Just the way she struts up to the podium in her award acceptance speeches.
I love Frances McDormand. She is a badass.
I don't like Oscar speeches, but I kind of want to see her give an Oscar speech this year. This year of all years, I kind of want to see it. I'll be into that. This role is also kind of different than her other Oscar-winning role, like the overly, forever, perpetually polite cop that she played in Fargo. Mm-hmm. Can we get any more different than that? So the Fargo character is totally different, kind of like how Daniel Day-Lewis's real-life persona is totally different from the... I'm kind of getting a theme here. Will the Academy vote for this one just because it shows the range of her abilities? And are we voting like for the best actress of forever, never mind the best actress of that year? Is that why Daniel Day-Lewis is so weird in real life? Because he wants to show people the length of his abilities?
I'm still going with the he's just an amalgamation of all the characters he's
played.
There's
a story in The Prestige where Michael Caine talks about an old magician, and it's like the beginning of The Prestige, and the old magician, you know, this old man just walked out and pretended he was old and feeble, but he's actually this strong badass of a guy. So he does a trick where he uses his physical prowess under a giant robe.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what he's doing because he pretends to be old the rest of his life. So nobody gets it.
And then everyone was like, wait a minute, this isn't Willy Wonka.
Right. So Daniel Day-Lewis pretends he's, you know,
the psychopath, but really a genius.
Evil guy from our, you know, an evil version of Michael Stipe, but he's really this normal guy. And yeah,
I'm really glad you worked the Daniel Day-Lewis comparison into our best leading actress.
But that's what I'm trying to say. Like, her Fargo character is just like on one end of the spectrum, and now she's on the other end of the
range.
Spectrum.
Definitely, I mean, range and depth with this performance from McDormand, without question.
It's a good point in there somewhere.
Yeah, you got to dig to find it, but that's fine. What about Margot Robbie playing Tanya Harding in I, Tanya? Why is Margot Robbie going to go home sad, despondent, and empty-handed?
Because she's too attractive. She's too pretty. She's too beautiful. She shouldn't get this award as well. No, I mean, people are polarized about this movie, dude. They don't get it. They don't like it as much as the other Oscar-nominated films. That's why it's not nominated for Best Picture. Mm. So it doesn't have the momentum that these other movies have. Typically, we don't get the Best Acting category winners from movies that are not nominated in the big show, or at least the other awards. I mean, it happens sometimes, but it's not as often. So maybe the soundtrack was too on the nose. Maybe she shouldn't play a teenager or be allowed to play a teenager.
Yeah, that was rough. The scene where she plays braces and all.
As gorgeous as she is, I mean, she looks 27. Like, and good. And I'm happy about that. And she should look 27. And it's
14.
Effing weird, yeah, when she tries to look 14 and put on all the mannerisms of the teenager. And last thing I would want to say is the scenes with Sebastian Stan. Jeff Galuli's scenes are beyond polarizing. They're just downright distasteful at times.
Oh, there is no argument.
Distasteful is a hard way to put it, but...
Well, he acts in a distasteful manner.
They're just so awful to watch. That maybe that throws people off. But yeah, what do you think? Why she's not going
to
win, Mike?
I want
to
highlight one of the points you made. They're not going to give two acting Oscars to a movie they didn't even nominate for Best Picture or Director. I don't think it's ever happened. And if we all agree that Allison Janney, who is the favorite in the clubhouse, and we're going to talk about her heavily when we do our Best Supporting Actress category, if we all agree she's going to win the Oscar, which we seem to all think, a lot of people out there think there's not going to be an upset in that category. There rarely is in the supporting categories, by the way.
Oh, really?
The Sylvester Stallone one was kind of a fluky. If you go back and listen to our Golden Globes, I think it was our Golden Globes recap, I put a couple stats in there about that. But usually the supporting ones go chalk. And
put your money down.
Yeah, when there's... When you agree that Allison Janney's going to win that, you're not going to give a second Oscar to someone from the same cast. I don't think, I was doing my research on this, I didn't have a chance to finish it, but there's been 38 instances of a movie getting two or more acting Oscars winners. Never once has that movie not had neither a Best Picture nor a Best Director nomination to it. So... Okay. I'm not positive that's the case. I didn't finish. Again, I got through the first, like, the half of them, starting with 2013, I want to say, was the last one. But it's not going to happen. They're not going to give Janney and Margot Robbie Oscars for a movie that they don't think is a Best Picture-worthy nominee or Best Director-worthy nominee. Further, dark comedies don't win lead actress awards. In the last 20 years, there have been three lead actress winners who have starred in films considered at least in part to be a comedy. Emma Stone in last year's La La Land, Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook, and Helen Hunt in As Good As It Gets back in 1997. All three have had a love story featuring a male lead who also landed a Best Actor nomination.
Wow.
This movie doesn't have that. All three were in a movie that was strong enough for Best Picture nomination. This movie doesn't have that. The Oscar trends of yesteryear kind of put a lot of pressure on this Robbie performance and say it's not going to happen. And oh, by the way, I'm pretty sure Tanya Harding isn't a great representation of what the Academy is going for.
I didn't do my research like you.com. And they said that the skating looked fake.
You know how Wikipedia says on top of its page, it's like the fifth biggest website in the world? I think that one's like six or seven.
No, you did some good research on this episode. I did none of that.
That's the extent
of it. I thought
it
was an editorial only. But yes, the real Tanya Harding interviews, to somehow get back on track here, they might have sabotaged Margot Robbie a bit.
I had the same thought.
Because we all kind of remember that, like, she's that, maybe she's kind of lying about some things.
I'm on record in our I, Tanya recap saying, this woman got abused. She got treated the raw deal by the world. And you watch those interviews and you're like, oh, boy, she's not sorry.
She's still a mess.
Yeah.
And she probably hurt that other girl back in the day. So yeah, we don't know. We honestly don't know, but it doesn't look good. It looks like she's guilty as sin going on Oprah talking about everything. But
it's a good point. It's a very fair point. Did the real life character do enough work to sabotage her portrayal's image? Because Tanya Harding has been right next to Margot Robbie at these award shows, showing up and hobnobbing, rubbing elbows with the elites.
So Mike, why will Margot Robbie win this thing?
Here's why she's going to win. Or the argument can be made that she's going to win. When I think about, we've talked about how great this category is and these nominees are.
It's
and
a great
these
performances category. Are.
This is probably a category, like you said, we one day may want to look back on and do a retrospective on.
Next week?
Yeah, that's fair. When I think about the 2017 Best Lead Actress category, the first two scenes that come to my mind are both Margot Robbie scenes from I, Tonya, one involving a mirror and one involving a fourth wall break. Those are the two scenes from this category that I think of. So
all in the trailer, too, by the way. Just showing you right off
the bat. Yeah, but the context they provide is very dramatic and very funny. Not to mention, for all those reasons I said that it's never happened, it's never happened, it's never happened, and it's not going to happen. Well, if there's going to be a year to break the Hollywood precedent and the trend setting about an actress and a lead actress at that, it's going to be with Margot Robbie in this performance. Why not give it to her if she is the best damn performance of the year?
This performance reminds me of Leonardo DiCaprio as the Wolf of Wall Street from a couple years back.
Fair. Good analogy. Just,
she goes off. She gives you everything she's got. You know, there is a nice little story behind the scenes where she's a producer of this film, where her production company works for movies about women, trying to get more of those on the silver screen out there. Those scenes in the mirror, though, the scenes with Allison Janney, yes,
the hammer.
The scenes with Sebastian Stan are intense, but they're scenes where she's going off, like I said, all the emotion in the world.
And I want to address, I said that the three comedic winners in the last 20 years all had leading men alongside them that played off of them, that earned Oscar nominees. Screw them. You don't need a leading man when Allison Janney is bringing the thunder like she is in this. I mean, the love story isn't between a man and a woman in this. It happens to be in this movie. It happens to be between a mother and a child. That happens to be the love story.
Well, that was Lady Bird, but maybe.
Okay. A different kind of mother-child love story.
Yeah, no, this is a horror story between a mother and daughter.
Yes.
But you're
fine.
You're almost right. Giving them the Rodney Dangerfield look there. I think she will win at the end of the day because she was first on my list for the longest time because she could play Nancy Kerrigan, Margot Robbie. I think that most of her career has been playing characters of the Nancy Kerrigan vein. And here she is playing Tonya Harding and pulling it off.
Putting this movie, putting this whole production on her back, on the back of the news that she's going for the solo Harley Quinn movie, the Gotham Sirens movie may be coming out. She's transforming into a super duper star
in Hollywood. She's going for broke with every performance, pushing her limits with every performance. She could take in every movie the quote unquote bimbo performance and make oodles of money. She doesn't do it.
No, and she shouldn't do it. She is packed to the gills with talent.
Right.
Saoirse Ronan is next. She's the fourth nominee in this category. She plays Christine Lady Bird McPherson in the aptly titled Lady Bird. She did win the Golden Globe for best leading actress in a comedy or musical, but why won't she win the Oscar?
Because of someone whose name rhymes with Schmances Schmickdormand.
You're always good at hiding those.
Yes, I am. It might just be The Shape of Water's night. It might just be Three Billboards night. It might be because merpeople hacked the Oscar voting.
That's
a really good laugh from a good friend.
No, I like that joke. Screw you. You gotta watch out. I've always said the two biggest threats to any voting body right now. 1A, Russians.
Hacking.
1B, Ariel. Little Mermaid. I don't have a lot of reasons why Saoirse Ronan's going to lose. I think I might have the least amount of reasons why Saoirse Ronan's going to lose. And that might play a part into something later. But the one reason I do have is a biggie. Call it two, I guess. But one, or 1A, 1B. One, I don't personally agree. But the argument is there. Laurie Metcalf was better. And the Lady Bird was great. But the Academy's not going to give three of the biggie Oscars to this movie because there isn't an all-time wonderful movie this year. And if the prevailing thought, much like with the
spread it around.
If the prevailing thought is this movie might win Best Picture, And Laurie Metcalf was a heavy favorite for Best Supporting Actress at one part. They're not going to give all three of those awards to this movie.
It's quite possible that Laurie Metcalf, Timothy Chalamet, Beanie Feldstein, and Lucas Hedges, they just stole a lot of scenes from her, stole a lot of attention from her character. I mean, she's going off in these scenes, and we had to kind of watch this movie again and again and again to appreciate her performance, you know, all the more. And that's something we said in our Lady Bird episode. Yep. We're like, oh, my God. I can't believe what she's doing there. I'm just watching. I'm watching Laurie Metcalf, and I should have been watching Saoirse Ronan. Good Lord, she's got a lot of that. So if people just watch the movie once, maybe they dismiss her a little too quickly. Rewatching it though, the dedicated Academy voter might have something more to say. So why is she gonna win, Mike?
The reason she's going to win, for me, this is me. I'm the Academy here. The reason I'm voting Saoirse Ronan Best Lead Actress is because I haven't laughed harder in a theater this year than I did when she, Greta Gerwig, and Beanie Feldstein weaponized Crash Into Me by the Dave Matthews Band.
It was a big laugh.
As a weapon of mass comedic seduction. I was floored when they did that. And by the way, if there is an aspect of Lady Bird that hasn't reminded you of yourself at some point and you can't find relatability in this character, you are lying, because this was all of us growing up.
Yeah, I was shocked in a movie about a young girl coming of age that I mean, it shattered my psyche, and I wrote more than I ever wrote before.
This
movie inspired me, you know, gave me goosebumps upon rewatch. You know, the first time I watched it, like I said, I kind of dismissed it a little bit. I dismissed the performance, maybe dismissed the movie even, upon umpteenth rewatches, and I went to the theaters a bunch for this one. You know, thank you, MoviePass. It might just be Lady Bird's night because of the politics, but this movie is worthy of its nominations and being in the mix
in any year
because of what it's able to do for a fat 33-year-old man like me thinking about his childhood and his formative years.
But you brought up in the last episode, in our Best Supporting Actor episode, it took you said a couple watches to really truly appreciate what Saoirse Ronan's doing here. Is the Academy giving these movies their due? Are they even watching them all at all? Are they just voting for their friends? There's a lot of intangibles that go into these that could maybe screw Lady Bird out of some votes.
The Academy,
screw Saoirse Ronan out of some votes.
The Academy does know her work well. They enjoy her work.
She is a darling.
Brooklyn and Atonement back in, I mean, she's a young girl. She's only 23. So Atonement when she was like 14, 15. Brooklyn when she was, you know, 20, 21 maybe.
Yeah, so 1920, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, neither of those are huge showy performances either.
No,
so I think,
you're right.
I think, you know, she's been nominated before. Maybe they want to just push her over the top with this one. It's a beloved movie. It's a movie without any real backlash.
Yeah, my final point as why she's going to win is that the likes of she, Jennifer Lawrence, Timothy Chalamet, Lupita Nyong'o, etc., they're all going to run the industry someday anyway, so we might as well just submit to our future overlords and award her right now.
Sucking up early is usually the way to go.
I am in love with all those names I just said.
The film is a breath of fresh air. It's a surprisingly great movie for just a guy like me, and it might win.
And final performance in the Best Leading Actress category, Meryl Streep playing Kay Graham in The Post. Meryl Streep, a woman that has won 3 Academy Awards, but has been nominated 87,000 times. Why will she go home on her 87,000th and first without the award?
Because of bad wigs, Michael.
Oh, Jesus
Really
Christ.
Bad wigs. Beehive. It's a beehive wig.
Oh, God.
It's a beehive wig. It looks like something.
I need to buy you a wig.
It's bad. So, I mean, and she's got the best of the bad wigs, to be honest with you. But it looks like nonsense. We've seen Meryl Streep's real hair in most of the other movies, and this one looks nonsense. I think her lack of hair in August Osage County, or her evil Wicked Witch of the West hair in that whatever that Disney musical was, Into the Woods, you know, those look better than this just whatever it is, Darth Vader helmet.
We're on the verge of having to rename our Twitter handle again to just something like Also Mike on Hair. Also, Mike does wigs.
Don't try to pull off a wig or a toupee on me, dude.
Mike wigs and Oscars.
No, it's distracting. It's distracting.
Fair point.
Look, the dialogue is also bad in this movie. It's cliched.
I make jokes, but I'm going to say, and I've said it before, you certainly have a more critical eye for these types of things and picking out from a director's standpoint and a movie critic standpoint what would bother actual movie critics, unlike me. So I'm not going to begrudge you at all. If that's how you feel and it's caused that big of a distraction, I'm sure you're not the only one that feels that way.
You've also argued that it's a fetish of mine.
You have a problem. I think you need to seek help.
So I appreciate the sentiment now, but I know you don't believe it. But yeah, I mean, Frances McDormand's going to win. That's probably why she's going to lose here. And if she doesn't, then Saoirse Ronan or Margot Robbie or Sally Hawkins is going to win.
So she won't win because to you she's fifth.
Because the movie does not have a lot of momentum right now either. That's my last tidbit there. You know, it got Best Picture and it got Meryl Streep and it got not much else.
Yeah. Yeah, look at me in the eyes and tell me this isn't another token nomination for the Academy favorite. I'll wait. Take your time.
I'm looking.
Yeah.
Those eyes are terrifying.
This is we have our four. Let's give Meryl Streep our fifth. It's a good performance.
It might have happened on the guy's post. Side,
I
too. Had
no, yeah, it might have happened in a couple categories. Absolutely. Yeah. I like The Post. I actually have rewatched it a couple times. I enjoy it. Yeah. I just don't know that there's anything she does as Kay Graham that has the depth or the flaws that we keep hammering a good character needs that, say, is more prevalent than in someone like Michelle Williams' character in All the Money in the World, or Hercule Harris' character, or Jessica Chastain's Molly Bloom character in Molly's Game. I don't know that Kay Graham necessarily is as well-rounded as those characters, so why is Meryl Streep getting the nod and these aren't? If Steven Spielberg directed Battle of the Sexes, are we talking about Emma Stone being in this category instead? Because she also had that not well-rounded character, two one-note, no flaws problem.
Oh, my God.
So are we...
This is too good of an argument now. We have one more segment, you know.
Well, are we nominating Meryl Streep's performance, or are we nominating Meryl Streep, the actor?
For being Meryl Streep exactly. In a wig. Yeah, good arguments. So, Mike, why would Meryl Streep win this award today? In your mind, because it's not winning on the day, but why is she going to win?
Because she's Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
And that's why she'll win.
They're sick and tired of nominating her and never
every movie she's in deserves to be at least mentioned in the category.
Yep.
And The Post is no exception.
Because she elevated some of that bad dialogue.
It's a strong female protagonist. It's a
vintage hero that we haven't gotten a lot of.
Who is ready to go in the face of adversity.
The older woman.
Her evolution.
That starring role. Yeah.
Her evolution from woebegone figurehead, from laughingstock joke that all these men in this male-dominated field around her see her as. Oh,
telling timely stories.
And she comes up from the ashes like a phoenix.
Timely
and
scenes.
Makes the big decision of the movie.
Hit the Katy Perry music.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
baby,
possible.
She's a firework. I say that.
Possible Hollywood wants to make a similar statement about the news media, about feminism, that
this movie certainly
gets out there. And the final reason, which is actually a legitimate reason, that gives her a Hail Mary's shot here. What if the vote splits equally between McDormand, Ronan, Robbie, and Hawkins?
And don't say that's not possible.
And then she gets these kind of seniority, old Academy golf clap of a vote.
Who has more friends in the Academy than Meryl Streep? I mean, does anyone? Obviously, she's 20 some odd times nominated. That is insane.
It's unlikely.
It's very possible. We don't have that head and shoulders above everyone else performance. In fact, we have just the opposite.
If it's like 100 to 1, though, put a dollar on it.
I have a gambling problem, so I'll put 100.
Can't resist those odds. You do have a problem. Shit.
So
I didn't know who I was talking to. I'm gonna fuck it. I'm gonna 100.
So let's
takes out a cigar.
Let's go. Let's go now to Perfecting Perfection. These are the five nominees. Again, just to hammer home what we're doing with these Perfecting Perfection thoughts, we don't pick these nominees. These aren't the Mike, and Oscars, which will be coming in the future.
We're going to pick those nominees.
We get these nominees from the Academy, and we will position them from 5 to 1 based on what we've seen, what we've reviewed, and how we feel, how we think they should be listed from 5 to 1. So in other words, we aren't necessarily predicting who will win on the night, but given these five nominees, we're kind of telling you who we think should win out of this group. So with that said,
yep.
Also, Mike, number 5.
Number 5 for me, what's her name? What's her face? No, it's Meryl Streep.
Martha Stratham.
It's Mary J. Streep.
Yeah, we share it's that.
Meryl Streep's Blige. My 5 too. I mispronounced. Yeah, she's my 5. It's a testament to me that Meryl's acting got her nominated, because this is not a movie that I would say stacks up against the top 3 movies of this category. And it's notch below my number 4 movie in this category in terms of movie ratings.
Well,
just saying, I think Meryl Streep acted the shit out of that part, but the part didn't give her enough.
You basically took the words out of my mouth. I don't think it's a well-fleshed out enough character, and it says 2 things. 1, about Meryl Streep's performance, like you said, and 2, about the strength of this category with these performances, that Meryl Streep is number 5. Yeah. I think it speaks volumes. I'm pretty sure we're going to have the same number 4 as well.
Sally Hawkins?
Sally Hawkins, Shape of Water. I just finished rewatching this again today. I want so badly to like this movie love it and just embrace it like everyone else seems to be. I just cannot find any angle to do so.
Sally Hawkins is both our 4s.
Yeah.
We're in agreement.
This is one of those years where
it gets interesting.
Where we have this is 1974 without Art Carney, right? Meryl Streep isn't someone that we feel we need to recognize and give the Lifetime Achievement Award to. There's no long-standing nominee that's come back over and over again that we feel it's their time. That's not Scorsese and The Departed, according to Roger Ebert.
If it's not Meryl Streep, then it can't be anyone.
Exactly. So we have a 3-headed Cerebrus-type monster that could just eat each other up and kill each other.
Honestly, I would rank these 1A, B, and C.
It's so close.
It's 1A,
man.
It's 1B, so it's 1C.
So let's start with 3. Who's number 3 for you?
And I had her my number 1 all month. You know, I've been doing this for a while, bro. And she was my number 1 all month. I rewatched these movies. Margot Robbie is a 1C. It's tough.
Me too.
Oh, really?
I had her number 1 up till about 5 minutes ago before we started airing. I had to move. I've been moving these 3 all day.
It's tough.
This is killing me.
Brutal.
She's great.
By the Mike and Oscars, she'll win both of our awards.
She might. There's a very real chance.
Watch
she is
it
outstanding.
One more time. Yeah.
And like I said, I can't put any higher praise on. This category is loaded. These performances are great. And yet when I think about it in totality, I'm thinking about 2 Margot Robbie scenes. Those are the first 2 things that come to mind for me.
I wouldn't be shocked, in all seriousness, if she wins the Mike and Oscars at the end of the month.
Me either.
Because we rewatched the movie another 2 times, and we finally get it, and we finally understand it in all its glory.
So, we have the same 5-4-3, Meryl Streep, Sally Hawkins, Margot Robbie. Unfortunately, Margot Robbie it's kind of Meryl Streep, Sally Hawkins, space, Margot Robbie.
Space.
Number 2.
My number 1B.
Which is going to show you number 1.
My number 1B. Numbers mean a lot to me here. Saoirse Ronan. It's a tough call.
Oh.
It's a tough call. So she's your number 1?
Ronan is my 1, McDormand my 2. So you're McDormand 1 and Ronan 2.
I just, every time I watch this, I move her up. And
man,
I watched Margot Robbie again. I wasn't as hyped. And I loved Lady Bird again in a recent rewatch. It's tough, man. It's tough. But the little things of the movie Lady Bird, number 1, are extraordinary. It's a movie about little things, little details, finer points.
Down to the cinematography,
which, again, for a first-time filmmaker, is just absurd to think about, that she makes a movie with such density.
And Jordan Peele in the same room together.
Well, we got lucky, is what it happens.
You've said over and over, we're spoiled this year, and that could not be more true.
Yeah, these movies are going to be looked at in film schools for a long time to come because of their density of strong material. You know, maybe you have an ultra-qualified person in both cases,
sure,
where they kind of pent up this project for a long time
But you still need the green light, and you still got to put it out there.
It took years for them to go over it and over it and over it and perfect it. So maybe they were allowed to get a little precious with it and just nail it when it finally came due. Maybe that's the more realistic reason. But even still, you know, even if it took them 5 years to really crush it, they crushed it.
How is McDormand getting your gold and Saoirse Ronan your silver?
Now I have to make the argument for McDormand. Listen, McDormand's the performance that I had at number one probably a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think she does have the most complete performance of the group. I think she's doing it all. I think that
how do you argue any of this?
I think that she's got the emotional scenes. She's got the stoicism. She does the quiet performance when she needs to. I also think, like, and Ronan does this as well, as actors, they give a lot to their cast members. And McDormand gives a lot of scenes away. She really does. She gives them the Rockwell. She gives them Dinklage. The Woody. She gives them the Dinklage. Yeah. She gives them to the, you know, the girl who's her best friend from the best friend and co-worker.
The ex-husband's girlfriend as well.
She gives them to the girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
And right. She takes them when she needs to take them, and she gives them away when she needs to give them away. And I just think that she serves the story better than any other character in this group. It's hard to make that claim because they all serve the story extremely well. I'm a huge fan of hers. Also, you know, to make a point clear, huge fan of hers, huge fan of her husband's, you know, Ethan Coen, mm-hmm. and all those movies that they did together. That's a heartwarming story for me. The fact that they've been making movies together for so long. I'm crazy about her.
Look, she's the leader in the clubhouse, no doubt. She's been the one beating these other women out for these awards, and she's got the Golden Globe. She's got the Critics' Choice. She going to get the Oscar? We're going to see. She's your number one. She's my number two. But one, two, and three, I'm with you. Ronan, McDormand, and Robbie, however order you want to put them in, they're separated by hairs.
Four and five may have different nominees in the Mike, and Oscars, so stay tuned.
Wouldn't be surprised. I think I like the Meryl Streep performance better than you, but it's tough to put it above even Sally Hawkins based on degree of difficulty for the character.
Right.
And what Hawkins did in Shape of Water was ultra impressive and getting the emotion that she needed to out of that performance.
It's a good sign that I'm enjoying all this rewatch stage, you know? Even if you're a person who's seen all these movies already, now as you kind of get juiced up for the show. Get
focused, yeah.
For the big show, you can listen along with us and, you know, kind of start to debate these performances a little bit. We tried to lay the foundation to give you arguments on both sides. That was just a mind bender of a project. We're gonna do five more of those.
Yeah. This is gonna be. And we're doing two a day. and the debate is the fun in this, and it's to keep you detached from reality.
It's a lot of fun.
There's too much bullshit in the world and too much stuff to be serious about. So why not act serious about not serious stuff and get into it and sling mud about all these rankings? And what are your rankings? What have we got wrong? Tell us. Throw some shade our way. Type us up if you think we're right, if you agree with us. What are we missing? As always, we want you to get in touch with us. We love interacting with you guys. You are the engine that makes this machine go.
And Oscar now. We got Twitter, handle.
That's right. And we're going to keep putting these episodes out until we cover all seven of those categories. And then it's time for our predictions and our Mike, and Oscars. We got a whole loaded set to go all the way up to Oscar Sunday to get you ready. So reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us and get at us. Mike, and Oscar on Facebook. Mike, and Oscar on Instagram. MM and Oscar.
On Twitter.
I got to keep saying it over and over to make sure I got it right. But MM and Oscar on Twitter. MikeMikeAndOscar@gmail.com and MikeMikeAndOscar on Reddit. The only reason we're not MikeMikeAndOscar on Twitter is because Twitter needs to expand their handle size by one freaking character. So shout out to Twitter. Cancel the Twitter. And we will see you guys next time as we have lead actor on the horizon, the best lead actor. Coming up next for our five nominees and reasons why and why not.
Doing the big four acting categories right off the bat and then the other three.
And we will see you guys next time. Hope you enjoy the ride. Keep on tuning in.
See ya.